The technological marvel of its age, the Erie Canal, grew out of a sudden fit of inspiration. Proponents didn't just dream. They built a 360-mile waterway entirely by hand and largely through wilderness. As excitement crackled down its length, the canal became the scene of the most striking outburst of imagination in American history. The Erie Canal made New York the financial capital of America and brought the modern world crashing into the frontier. Men and women saw God face to face, gained and lost fortunes, and reveled in a period of intense spiritual creativity. Jack Kelly's new book is Heaven's Ditch. It illuminates the spiritual and political upheavals along this psychic highway from its opening in 1825 through 1844. It is an amazing book by one of my one of our favorites here, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jack Kelly to the program.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much for being on the show. What brought you to the subject? It's such an interesting. First of all, I had no idea about 90% of this, other than we had a canal and how it was sort of the logistics and how it was built. But the story behind it is simply fascinating. What brought you to it?
Joe, I think the seed for the book was really planted when I was a kid. I grew up quite close to the canal. I used to go over and watch barges go through the locks. We often drove past Hill Camorra, which is just south of Palmyra, New York, on the canal. And whenever we went by, somebody would say, "That's where he found the golden tablets." And I didn't know who he was or what the golden tablets were about, but it was very intriguing. And that was actually the beginning of Mormonism, started right in that little town where Joseph Smith had found the Book of Mormon.
And once you find these stories, but that is just one of the amazing stories that come out of this creation. So as you started the project, did you know it was as rich as it turned out to be?
There were continual surprises, really. I knew the basic outline of the history of the religious movements and political movements up in that region, but I was continually surprised not only by the things that happened, but the connections. So, for example, the America's first professional daredevil was connected to the greatest revival religion in American history, or that a woman that was connected with one of the first political movements in that region later was directly connected to Joseph Smith and the Mormon religion. So it was fascinating research, and it was really a lot of pleasure to write the book, not only because of my own connections, but I think just a series of fascinating events.
When you talk about fascinating events, this perfect storm, if you will, of coming together of politics and religion and technology, it's a fascinating mixture. And I guess out of the three, the one that I was surprised that is so prevalent is the religious aspect.
Yeah, it was a time that during which the canal was being built and first opened was a time of a great deal of religious ferment in the country. We're moving away from the old Puritan, Calvinist type of faith. Because the Constitution had forbidden established religions or state-supported religions, All the denominations began to go out and compete with each other. Mm-hmm. And there was a great resurgence of religion in that era, in the early decades of the 1800s. And because the Erie Canal was such a corridor and such a movement of people and ideas along, that was the place where it really was focused on.
At what point was it decided that we need a canal?
They actually can trace the idea back to one man in 1805 who was a flower broker in upstate New York, and he was going bankrupt because he couldn't get his flour from upstate New York, where it was cheap, to the markets in the east. And he had this almost like a vision of a canal running from Lake Erie all the way down to the Hudson River and then down to New York City. And then that idea was picked up by DeWitt Clinton. A lot of people know Clinton's Ditch. And DeWitt Clinton was a politician in New York and really became the champion of the canal and pushed it through and was the sponsor of the canal and was his great achievement. Eventually became governor of New York.
It's amusing because we keep on thinking about this Western expansion. But in this case, the Western expansion was to get to Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo was the Wild West. Rochester was also pretty wild, too. The canal brought the port atmosphere, the environment of drinking and fighting and whorehouses to these towns in upstate New York. And that conflict also had a lot to do with the ferment and the religious impulse and so forth.
And as you write in the book, and another thing I didn't know or didn't realize, and that is it really started as a youth movement.
Yeah, that's, I think the one thing that really joins the different movements I talk about in the book together is that they were all instigated by young people. The people that went to the frontier and the people that moved down the canal were young people. Old people didn't tend to go to the frontier. The population of Rochester, when it was in its boom phase, 3/4 of people lived there were under 30. So they had their enthusiasms and their cults and their communes, and it's very similar to the 1960s in a lot of ways.
So the canal, it looks good on paper. So then then they start to build it. And what did the challenges become?
Well, it was an unprecedented challenge because the longest canal in the country at the time was 29 miles, and that was in a settled area out in Massachusetts. This was going to be 360 miles mainly through remote frontier and virgin forest. So to cut down the trees and then pull up the stumps and then, move up and down the levels by building locks so that when there was a decline of 8 feet in the level, you had to build a lock to lower the barges down to that level. At Lockport, so the famous engineering feat at Lockport, they had to put 5 locks one after another to get up a 60-foot cliff to pass along and eventually reach Lake Erie. So it was there are many, many challenges. I sometimes compare it to the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is only 48 miles long and rises up 85 feet. The Erie Canal, 360 miles, rises up over 600 feet. Mm. So it's, and the Panama Canal, which is about 100 years later, they had steam shovels and railroads and dynamite.
The subtitle of the book is God, Gold, and Murder, and we have talked about the religious aspect, but I do want to talk about the murder, because this became another huge story that came out of the creation of the canal.
Yeah, it was what they called at the time the crime of the century. Of course, there have been many crimes of the century down the centuries.
Yes.
But where a man who was writing a book about the Freemasons was kidnapped and presumably murdered. His fate is still a mystery to this day. And it set off a frenzy of people against the Freemasons. They started the Anti-Masonic Party, and sort of apropos to the current politics, the Anti-Masonic Party was our original third party in American politics, and they invented the presidential nominating convention. They held the first presidential nominating convention for the 1832 election, and it was a short-lived but very influential party.
The book is fascinating, and it is entitled Heaven's Ditch. Jack Kelly will be at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck July 14th at the Schenectady Canal Festival, at the Mabee Farm Historic Site on July 16th, and at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs on July 17th. Again, the name of the book, Heaven's Ditch, God, Gold, and Murder on the Erie Canal. Jack Kelly, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome, Joe. It's always great to be with you.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.